Well, good evening. Thank you for making the effort to be here tonight. We have something a little bit different tonight. I've been in church all my life, and I don't think I've seen this before. So that's exciting. New things are good most of the time. Tonight, it definitely will be. So what's happening tonight? Last 3 weeks, we have taught on teaching children. So tonight, the college students have got what is a practical. So it will be assessed. It's a part of their assessment. There's two esteemed judges and myself. You can see where the laugh comes from. You know who one of the judges is. So Pastor and Mrs. Matthews will be giving feedback, and I will be giving feedback as well. Now, just because they're speaking to children, you're not allowed to act like children, okay? So don't be rude like the children are sometimes. That would be really bad. We've got Pastor Christy. He's the principal. He'll kick you out. He'll have detention with Pastor Christy if you don't listen. But before we start, we will pray, because I know that people are probably nervous. I see some head nods. I speak in front of people all the time, and sometimes I still get nervous. So when you don't do it that often, nerves are a real factor. So we'll pray, particularly for those presenting tonight. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this night you've given to us. Lord, again, thank you for the privilege that we have within our church to have your children's ministries and to be able to teach children. Lord, I do pray for Agnes, for Peter, for Megan, and for Robert tonight as they present. Lord, please calm their nerves, and Lord, help them to be able to communicate the lesson effectively. Help us to listen well, because although this is a children's story, it's still your word, which means it's still relevant to us. So help us, Father, to be able to apply the word you have for us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Mrs. Santosa is up first, so I'll invite her to come. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. And thank you for coming, and thank you for pretending to be children. And I'll address you as boys and girls, okay? Because this is supposed to be for the children between year 3 to year 6. Okay. If you have your Bible, could you please open to John 17? Please, and we are going to read verses 16 to 17. Okay, who would like to help me to read it? Any volunteers? Pastor Frisha, would you like to read it for us, please?
John 17, yeah. Verses 16 and 17 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Yeah, thank you. And how are you all? And I pray that you are all well and know the peace of God, and in this tumultuous time of the COVID-19 pandemic, okay? Who agrees with me? This time has created much pressure in our lives. We feel fearful what will happen to us, our families and friends, and we wonder when vaccine will be available or this virus be eradicated, don't we? Or will there be enough food in the supermarket? And the list can go on and on and on and on. And who is that we were not part of this world of pandemic? But unfortunately, we live in it at the moment. How does this make you feel? Sad and pressed down? Like this squeeze ball, press. I do feel like this. If you ask, does God care about this situation or thought? If God is love, How could he let this happen? Has there been anyone in the history that could handle so much pressure yet not become angry or selfish? And these are excellent questions, and I'm very glad if you think about them. Now, the good news is, boys and girls, God not only cares for the pandemic we are in, but he also loves us very much and wants to help us to carry our burden. In fact, the Bible tells us God is good, and Jesus said it himself, nobody is good except God. And I like to use one of God's many marvelous objects in creation as an illustration of living in the world, but not of it. Any guess who that one is? Any guess? And this is the real thing. You pass it on, please.
I know.
Yes, what is it?
Lotus seed. No, lotus roots.
Yes. That's true. That's correct. And this root is belong to, in the species that belong to this plant family. And that photo is actually in taken in Kew in Botanical Garden in England. And the name is Queen Victoria water lily, actually. And And the plant is the same family as water lilies, and it is like Mr. Robert say, that's the root of lotus, or the scientific name is Nelumba nucifera. Okay. And next one, please, Pastor. As we can see from this picture, lotus is an aquatic plant, so it lives in watery and muddy surrounding. This water and mud always putting pressure on its root system. What do you think happens during any rainy season when there's much more water in the pond or lake? Is the pressure on the root become greater or less? Of course, the extra water will be putting more pressure on the root. How is this pressure on lotus root relevant to us, you might say? Let's say, for example, because we're in the pandemic situation, before the pandemic, your family had planned to take you to go on to see your cousin in another state last summer holiday. Then, before you go, you were told that your cousin had an accident while riding his bike and broke his arm. And you thought, oh, no. You cannot do all the fun activities you are going to do now. That was quite disappointing. Not long after that, as we all know, the pandemic hit, and we couldn't even go to school or visit our friends or even play in the park. All we could do was just to stay at home for weeks. It wasn't a pleasant experience, right? How do we really feel at this stage? Probably a bit. No, very disappointed. However, it's not with the lotus. It still grows beautifully regardless of the constant pressure from its habitat. Do you know why? Because God in his wisdom and goodness created air pipes in the lotus root system which function as pressure absorber, you know, kind of like the shock absorber in cars that when you go to bump, it's cushion it, so it doesn't break under pressure. Isn't it God's design amazing and wonderful? And what can we learn from this? Lotus root. The lotus survives and thrives in its habitat because it has something completely different from its watery and muddy world. The water didn't get in there, the mud didn't get in there, it's just play, you know, completely just air pockets. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ... next slide, please. Prayed this prayer only a few hours before he was crucified. Then it must be especially important word for us to hear and understand. He too wants us to survive, thrive, and have abundant life in the world. Not only that, but also one day to live with him in heaven eternally. But in the meantime, in this situation with the COVID, how do we live in the world without being caught up in the worries and fear that is going on around us? We only can survive by having Jesus in our hearts, someone who isn't in the world to carry all our pressure for us. And the solution is, firstly, we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, He loves us so much that He was willing to die on the cross, buried, and rose again the third day to save us. And I pray that you would think about it and how to get saved today. And if you like to get saved, first of all, you need to admit that you are a sinner, because we are all sinners that has fallen short of the glory of God, and then believe that whatever the Lord Jesus did on the cross to save us is sufficient, and then we confess that God has raised Him from the dead. And then secondly, what do? We need to live a sanctified life. And how do we become sanctified? We become sanctified by spending time with God in prayer and studying His word, so we have renewed mind and bear fruit for His glory. Just like the lotus on the top there, that's the leaf. Nothing of the surrounding stick to it. It just like was off. And then that's the lotus seeds. So in conclusion, lotus survives and thrives because it has air pipes in its root, something completely different from its habitat. Accordingly, we also need something different from our world to survive and thrive. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, the one that not of this world. And please talk to one of the pastor or me if you like to know what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and having Jesus in our hearts. And I pray that you would do it today, because the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Amen. Thank you.
So actually, originally I was meant to be the third person, so that's why I had a short break in mind, because it was going to be 20 minutes of just non-stop teaching. So since I'm the second person, perhaps you don't need the break, but anyways, I've included it. And it's something just to kind of, you know, make you feel a bit happy. There's a viva, and actually, they make a really cute squeak noise. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear it. Oh, yeah, they do. Okay, cool. And this is not just something completely random, because there's actually a question I'd like to ask. So, what are beavers known to do with their homes? And that's an actual question, so hands up. Mrs. Mather? Not quite tunnels. Pastor?
Make dams.
Yes, okay, that's correct. So, they build dams. And actually, that is something which is related to our talk tonight, because we, too, are putting on our builder's hats, and we will be looking at something which Christ said about building as well. But unlike a beaver, which builds an actual dam, Christ talked about building our lives. So concerning the story for tonight, let me paint the picture. So Christ had just began His public ministry. He just preached His first public sermon, perhaps on a hill much like this. There would be hills and grass for people to sit on. And Christ had just finished preaching His first sermon to the public masses. And He finishes this sermon with an important word picture. And let's go to this word picture, shall we? So the passage is going to be Matthew 7, 24 to 27. But before we turn there, let's do a sword drill, actually. So everybody, you know, put your Bibles up. Binder down, and then charge. Yep, Papa, you can start. If Papa sadly wins, that means everyone else is really slow, because he's got like a 5-second deficit. And whoever gets the first stand up, Well, no one's standing now, so, Mrs. Cheong, could you please read it out? So it's on the screen now.
Therefore, whosoever hears these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock.
Oh yeah, continue down to verse 27, please.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. But it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Thank you for reading. I'm sure you're pretty familiar with that passage too. So let's go and look at these verses a bit more slowly and in more detail. So what is Christ saying here in his word picture? So he's saying that whoever hears the teaching which he had just given and does them, that person is very much like a wise man who is able to have a stable life in terms of how they live. They are able to withstand the troubles of life when they come. So we see that when the rain descends... Is there a laser on this? There's no laser. Okay. When the rain descends and the floods occur and the winds blow and beat upon the house stands strong. And just to show you, it's similar to having a Lego house, okay? So if the Lego house is built upon a foundation of Lego, it doesn't matter how much I kind of shake it around, it's going to stand firm because it's built upon a solid foundation. And something important to note as well, that when building a house upon a rock, a lot of work has to go in. Like, a rock is not normally flat and square. We actually have to dig at it to make it flat in order to build our house. But then Christ then goes on to talk about what happens if a person hears his sayings, but then instead of doing them, that person chooses to ignore them. And what does Christ say? Christ says that it is very much foolishness. It is to our own demise. And this is very much like building a house upon the sand, which... Actually, I shouldn't move that out at the beginning. So this is a house built upon the sand. Unlike the house which was built upon the rock, perhaps it is much simpler to build because the sand is already flat. But then, when life, the troubles of life occur... Okay, well, there it is. Okay, the delayed thunder. So pretty much, when it shakes the house, the house is unable to stand against it. And therefore, just like this Lego house, it breaks to pieces. So, to summarize it, what was Christ teaching us? Well, he was teaching us pretty much that if we hear his sayings and then we obey them, we are living our lives in a way that is very stable and also very honorable to Christ. And a specific example of this, because Christ said a lot of things, is actually a couple pages back. So if we turn back to Matthew 5, so if you would like to turn in your Bibles to that, Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So we hear from Christ that this is just one of the things he tells us to do. And what's the schoolyard example of this then? So for example, let's say it's lunchtime. We're going out to the playground with our box lunch. We have a pretty normal, cheese sandwich. And it's not as fancy as, let's say, some other people within the school. And they start kind of teasing us. You're like, no, you just have a cheese sandwich and I have, bento box. So I think perhaps for us, the most natural response is to go and maybe be unkind to them back, or the next time we see them, we'll tease them about their lunch. But as we see here, Christ tells us that rather than treating them unkindly in return, we should be kind to them. We don't understand their situation as well. Perhaps they've been teased as well. And is this difficult? Yes, it is difficult. It's hard to treat people kindly when they're unkind to us. But then we have to remember that Christ, who also told us these things, he lived it himself. And he himself is our example. In Romans 5 verse 10, he says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So Christ came and died for our sins when we were his enemies. He was kind to us, he was loving to us when we were unkind to him and we did not love him. And so when Christ tells us this command that we are to love our enemies, he himself showed it to us when he died for our sins, just as Mrs. Santosa talked about with the gospel there. So what have we learned tonight? In this short time, hopefully you go away with at least two things. So one, that hearing and obeying God's life is key to not only a stable life, but a pleasing life to God as well. And secondly, that one way we can obey this command is we should love our enemies. And just to repeat once more that, yes, this is hard, and obeying the commands given by God are often unnatural to us, and it's difficult to us, but then Christ himself was our example. He was our example in dying for our sins and saving us from them if we choose to receive his free gift of salvation. So I think the last thing I'd like to leave you to ponder upon is, do you know Christ as Savior? He has called us to a high standard, but then he himself lived out that standard for you and me. So I'd just like you to think about that. And if you don't know for sure, then please talk to anyone in here, actually. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'll, like Mrs. Santosa said, I'll be calling you boys and girls because that's more natural for me when I'm giving a Sunday school message. Okay. So, hands up, who's heard the story of Paul before? Lots of you. That's really good. So, today we're going to be talking about Paul, but we're also going to be talking about another person, and he's got a different name. His name starts with S, and it's Saul. And I'll tell you guys why we're talking about two different people today, and there's a very good reason why. Okay. So, first, let me tell you about two little boys. Maybe one of them is really good. He goes to church every day. He's the one over here. He's the one sitting on his books because he likes to do his homework and he always listens to his teachers. He's always ready to help when there's work to do at church. And then maybe there's another boy, so he's the one that's sticking his tongue out. And he doesn't go to Sunday school. In fact, maybe he doesn't want to go. Maybe he even runs away. He never reads the Bible and he doesn't like to hear about God. And as you can see, he sticks his tongue out at people and he's always teasing his friends. He's not a very nice boy. So, hands up, which of you think that the second boy needs God more? Which of you thinks the first boy needs God more? Okay, well, we'll hear the answer right at the end. So make sure that you're listening throughout the whole message so that you can try and guess which boy needs God more at the end. All right, so let's go to Paul. So as you can see, Paul is living in a pretty big city. He lives in Tarsus. It's a city in the Middle East. So he was like this boy on the right of me. He went to school. He went to a Jewish school called a synagogue, and he learned about the Bible. So from a very, very young age, maybe the age of all of you children here, he learned all about the Bible and about theology, which is a big word that means that he studied the Bible every day. So he tried really, really hard to obey the Old Testament laws. He thought that this would please God. But Saul grew up eventually, and he knew the Bible and he knew all the laws, but he grew up to be a very, very proud man. So he grew up to be a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a man who wanted to do everything exactly right. And he thought that, as I said, doing what he felt was right, he could please God. One day a Christian named Stephen spoke to a crowd about Jesus Christ. And Stephen taught that instead of doing what you thought was right, that Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment of sin for every person. But the angry crowd didn't want to hear about it. And they actually held their ears so they couldn't hear. And at the end, while this was happening, Saul was standing there watching. So Saul was the second person that we're learning about. And as you can kind of tell from his name, this was Paul before he was saved. So as you can see, there's a Pharisee over here, and he is stoning Stephen. And Saul was the one on the far side standing there while a man was dying. So the Christians, who Stephen was one of, taught that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that was actually also written in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, it says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that's talking about Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that Saul persecuted the Christians. And he was part of a group of Pharisees who made life really, really hard for the Christians in his city. Who knows what persecute means? It's a big word. Hands up if you know what persecute means. Yes. Yep.
Getting someone in trouble.
Getting someone in trouble? Yep, that's right. So persecute means to make things difficult for people, to get someone in trouble. And in fact, today, people in our world get persecuted just because they're a Christian. So if you here at church, we support a missionary, and we support a number of missionaries, and they're from Syria, and they get persecuted sometimes. So Saul tormented these people. He persecuted them. He tried to put them in prison and even tried to kill those who loved and obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. But God knew that Saul needed to be forgiven of his sins. So God had a special plan to get Saul's attention. The Bible says that Saul went to the high priest, the one in those robes, and he asked for special letters so that he could go to the city of Damascus and take all the Christians there as prisoners to Jerusalem. So Saul was traveling along the road. He went to Damascus and he was thinking how he was going to take those Christians and persecute them. So there was a road from Jerusalem to Damascus, and he would have been traveling along that road. And suddenly, as he was traveling, a light from heaven shone all around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So boys and girls, who do you think was speaking from heaven? Any takers? Yeah?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's a really good answer. In fact, it was Jesus Christ. And isn't that amazing that Jesus would talk to a sinful, proud man like Saul, someone who was about to go persecute the people that Jesus actually loved? So Saul had been mistreating all those people, and yet Jesus still said, he still reached out to Saul and said, "You have been persecuting me." And Saul had probably never seen or touched Jesus, so how could he have persecuted him? He learnt eventually that when he hurt those who believed in Jesus, it was as though he hurt the Lord himself. So if we can turn to Acts chapter 9, and we can go to verse 6. All right. So once everyone's there, I'll read it. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And this is talking about Saul. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So Jesus wanted Saul to be his servant. Isn't that amazing? What an incredible thing that Saul, the persecutor, could serve the Lord Jesus. The men who were traveling with Saul would have been speechless with wonder because they heard a voice, but they saw no one. They still went to the city of Damascus. They got up from the ground, and Saul was, as he got up from the ground, he was actually blinded from that really, really bright light. So his friends took him by the hand and led him into the city. And for 3 whole days, Saul sat in the house of a man named Judas. So as you can see, he's still blind, so he couldn't have seen anything. He couldn't have eaten himself. He would have been, I don't know about you, but I would have been pretty bored just sitting on a chair for 3 whole days. But in fact, the Bible says that he was not bored because the whole time Saul was thinking, and he was thinking about the things he had done to Jesus and the people that Jesus loved. And another important thing that Saul was doing was he was praying, and the Bible says that in Acts 9 verse 11. So if we can go down the page a little in our Bibles to chapter 11, and it says, The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. So this is when the Lord is talking to someone that we'll learn about later called Ananias. But at the end of the verse, it says, Behold, he prayeth. And for 3 whole days, Saul would have been praying and thinking about what he had done wrong. So what do you think Saul was praying about? I just said that he was praying about what he had done wrong, but there was one thing in particular, a very important prayer that he would have said. He would have confessed his sin to Jesus, and he would have asked forgiveness for his sins. So not only was he thinking about them, but he was acting on the fact that he realized he was a sinner. So in another part of Damascus, there was a man called Ananias, who we've learned about just then. We read about him in the verse. Ananias was quick to say, Here am I, Lord, when God asked him to go and see Saul. So Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and he said to Saul, The Lord Jesus appeared to you on your way to Damascus, and the Lord has sent me that you would receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happened was that Saul got his sight back once Ananias had visited him. So on the road between Jerusalem and Damascus, Saul had received Jesus as his own Savior from sin. Okay, so we can go back to these two boys, and so like Saul, one of them was learnt about the Bible, and one of them went to Sunday school every week. And let's see what God thinks about this boy. So God can see your very heart, and he can see exactly what you think and what your feelings are, and God can see the sins that even you don't believe you have. So let's use a light. And so if Pastor Christy,
yes,
can I have you as a volunteer?
Yes.
Can you read me what's over here? Can you see that?
Pride.
Selfishness.
Anger. Disobedience.
So we've got some sins. Thank you, Pastor Christy. Good reading. We've got some sins here. And so this boy on the outside might seem that he's doing the right thing. Paul looked like he was doing the right thing. But on the inside, from what God sees, because God is perfect, remember? From what God sees, he's got a whole lot of sins. So just like Saul, you might think you're very good, but the Bible says that no one is good. We can turn to Romans chapter 3. And if you need help, you can ask a leader to help you find Romans chapter 3. And let's go to verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So every single person has disobeyed God and gone his own way. But the good news is that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And that's the message that Ananias and Stephen and all the Christians who Saul had been persecuting, that's the message that all of those Christians were trying to tell everyone that they knew. So the most important step that anyone can take in life is to receive the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And the most important thing that we can do, us who are Christians already, is to serve God and help others to find him as their Saviour, just as Ananias did. And as I know that many of you have heard about Paul before, so Paul went on to be a great preacher of the gospel. He went on to do great and mighty things for God, as we've learnt previously in Sunday school. And if you remember learning about the basket, he did great, courageous things for God. So God used Paul now in many ways. And that was because Ananias had obeyed God and told him about the gospel. So one of you can be just like Ananias, and maybe one of your friends might become like Paul one day and be a great preacher of the gospel. So that's all for today, but I'd like you to really have a think about the sins that you might not see that are in your heart, and go to God with them, confess, just like Paul or Saul did. And if you have confessed your sins, think about the friends that might need the gospel. And that's what I'd like you to do this week. Okay, thank you.
Evening all, my name is Robert, and tonight I'm here to tell you a story. The story of the house on the rock. You might have heard of this lately, but I'm going to tell you this story with a different twist. Now, before I start, I have one rule. Every time you see a verse up there in yellow, I want you to read it with me. So it's not just me telling the story, but you are going to tell your story yourself. Okay. Let's start by having a prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can have to read stories from your book. We pray that you give me the attention, the ability to tell the story so that the children in this room can understand and see the truth in your word. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. As one of the other storytellers was talking about, we are living in this time of uncertainty. Some of you wear masks. Why? What's one word answer to that? Why do you wear masks? Anyone? COVID. Correct. So pastor knows about COVID. What do we do when we are in COVID times? Where do we spend most of our time? Yes, at home. So I'm going to talk about house, your home. We know our home well because we stay there. We have to live there in these COVID times. But we've also been to other people's house. So we know the difference between different houses. Today, I'm going to tell you about a story about a house, your home, that's built on a rock. Okay, you see the red, you see the yellow sign? What do we do? Yes. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, you see, I highlight the word wise. We all want to be wise. But what is real wisdom? And this verse here say, he built his house upon a rock, being wise. Now, I put it to you this way. If you build a house on a rock, it's not actually very wise. Why? It costs more money. It takes more time. It's harder to dig into the rocks. That's not wise. Well, I'm going to ask you that question, but I won't. I'll leave it. There's a wise man with his house on a rock. Next verse.
And the rain descended, and the clouds came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Okay. Notice three things first. The rain came down, the flood came, and the wind blew. So here, whoever is saying that, God in his Bible is very precise. Three things. The rain came, the floods came up, and the wind blew. So nature is against this house. Beat upon it, and what happened? It fell not. Strange. For the answer is, it was founded upon a rock. There you go. It's founded upon rock. It's solid. It doesn't crash. Next. Okay. So, who is that mind there? Anyone? Who is talking here? I'll give you a clue. The answer was given just now. Paul. Who was mine there? Yes. Who? Yes, correct. So, Jesus is talking here, just like what we read in the Bible. Jesus is saying, everyone to hear this saying of mine, and doeth them not, shall be like unto a foolish man. So, Jesus talked about the wise man just now. Here, we're talking about the foolish man. So, there's two types of people. Right? Which built his house upon the sand. There you go. House on the sand. Now, let's recap. Let's think back. What was presented? So far the story goes. There's two types of people. What are they? The wise and the foolish. There's two types of houses built. House built upon the rock. And the house that's built upon?
Sand.
The sand. Let's see what happens next. And the rain descended. Oh no, hang on. I'm not reading. Go on.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall.
Okay, first part. The three things that happen is exactly the same. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and built upon the house. So it was attacking the house. Like that. But the result is different. The verse there tells us, and great, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So that's the difference. Remember the first case, the same thing happened. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, same thing, but it held strong. Here, great was the fall of it. Here you go. It fell down. Right. Next.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
So we ask the question, who was telling this story? Not me, it's Jesus. And when Jesus had ended this saying, the people were astonished. Now, who can tell me what the word astonished means? That's a big word. I'll give you the first guess. Surprised? Yes. What else? Unexpected? Shocking? Yes. So they were all thinking that way. How are you getting good?
As one having authority and not as the scribes.
Okay, so the Bible tells us Jesus, when he spoke with authority. Again, authority is a big word. It's more than four letters. What does that mean? It means he has the power. Yes! Yes. So I haven't given you authority, but as a teacher, we have the authority to tell you what to do. Yes. Correct. Very good. Okay. The end of the story is close, but there's more to come. So far, we've got two choices. One is the house on the rock, and one is the house on the sand. We've got two results. The house on the sand fell down. House on a rock stayed put. So from this, I wanted you to think about the choices you make. In everyday life, you can do what is right, what's wrong, and we don't have to know, define, or argue about it. Obey your teachers is the right thing. Disobey your teachers is the wrong thing. Eating your vegetable is the right thing. Throwing our vegetable away is the wrong thing. Right? So those are obvious. But then there are other things which may not be so obvious, which may not be so interesting, or has something to do with you now. If you come to church, you have heard that. People tell you about the gospel. People tell you about salvation. People tell you about Jesus Christ. That's a choice as well. You can either choose to believe it or choose not to believe it. Sorry, a bit of disturbance. You paying attention? Good. All right. So we talk about choices. You have two choices. Things that may not be so important to you now. Eternal life. You can either choose one way that leads you to heaven, or the other way, which is really doing nothing, you end up in burning hell. It's not a good place. If you want to know more, I'll tell you, but my time is limited here. And then lastly, I'll tell you another verse. Now this one is not in yellow, so you don't have to read. I'll read. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now Jesus is talking about this to someone who was very interested. He asked, what can I do? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father. Now this person was very interested in things of God. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus is saying. You need Jesus in your heart. You need to claim Jesus as your Savior. You need to deal with the sins in your life. Some of the stories you heard before have talked about that. But it's not just words. It's what's inside. Deal with it. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for warning me that someone else has done the same passage.
Okay, thank you very much. You worded very well. You did a great job. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this night you've given to us. Lord, thank you for this activity that we could undertake tonight. Lord, would you please help us to be able to apply the lessons that have been drawn out from your word tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.